For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Anthony, typically folks look back at a new year on significant passings in the year. And I'd kind of like to do that, but I'd also like to go a little bit deeper and talk about the legacy of folks that we've lost, and what they were trying to do, what they accomplished, and what we can do to carry on their mission.
Oh, well, okay. This is not an exhaustive list, I trust.
Well, one fellow, he was beloved in Buffalo, Tom Dooney. Let's talk about Tom.
A close friend of mine. And Tom's contribution, he was an actor, but also a director. And I think largely his enduring influence is in the way that he helped other people. I think in many ways, Tom might have considered himself an unsung hero. And in some ways he was, but I think it was because he frequently took that behind the scenes role. And yet, through gay activism, through theater, he blazed some new trails. I think that at the time of his death, it was kind of startling, the outpouring of people who had no idea that they had Tom in common.
But I'm wondering, what can other people do to, let's say, continue what Tom Dooney started?
I think that tapping into the basic nature of the theater as a collaborative art, understanding that sometimes you get to realize your own vision and sometimes you need to adapt your vision to encompass someone else's. If we could all be a little bit more like that, we could continue to advance the legacy of Tom Dooney.
I want to talk about A.R. Gurney, Pete Gurney, in a moment. But I also want to talk about someone whose influence is obvious, play after play, for thousands of school children, and that's Rosalind Kramer.
One of the co-founders of Theater of Youth Company, Meg Quinn, her student, continuing as artistic director. Her influence starts, she was not from Buffalo and arrived in town, her husband Stan, an academic here, and she joined the faculty of then Rosary Hill and gathered people around her. But she, again, somebody who had really encouraged others, of course she would shine as an actress in her own right, but very, very concerned to provide stories for children and to encourage other people who wanted to live a life in the arts, and she was. Persuasive. If you knew Roz was on the phone, you knew you were about to take on a big responsibility. That's a very clear legacy, and one for which she earned a star in the Plaza of Stars there in front of 710 Main.
Well, very often it does take, quote unquote, an outsider, a person who comes to Buffalo. I'm sure it's changing, and I know we're under the revitalization of Buffalo, but you tend to get kind of stuck in this feeling that, well, it's always been this way. It'll always be this way.
Well, yeah, well, you don't think we're at a moment where people believe they see change all around them, and the concern is that it's not changing for everyone. It seems to be changing for people who have always enjoyed a little bit of luxury and privilege, which I think would lead us to the storytelling of A.R. Gurney, telling the stories of a privileged class in Buffalo. And I think that early on people thought that that limited his vision, but they had not really understood what the full project of Gurney was. I think of Amargulis' play, Collected Stories, in which the student of a great writer says, well, the stories of the white Anglo-Saxon privileged class are over, and the teacher says, well, you'll have to break the news to John Cheever. And I think that Gurney is in that mold, in that the stories he was telling in plays like The Middle Ages, like The Cocktail Hour, The Dining Room, were actually astute commentaries. And as he went further, that critique became much more pointed and much more actively political. I think when George Bush went into the White House, the first Bush, Gurney started really to gear up with these overtly political plays that some people who didn't know Gurney, thought were coming out of nowhere, but they were coming out of the heart of his work, speaking from a place of great privilege, privilege he understood.
Well, let me ask then, what would be an A.R. Gurney lesson for, let's say, young playwrights today?
Well, I think that the oldest lesson that they tell any writer is to write what you know.
Good point.
But also analyze what you know. Dig deep into the underbelly of what you think you know and see it in a fresh way. That was at the heart of A.R. Gurney.
We have to get to an opening tonight, as a matter of fact, over at the Kavanaugh Theater on Porter Avenue. Mamma Mia, a story set to the music of ABBA.
Of ABBA, yes. The fun of ABBA is that the songs are so familiar.
Yes.
And they insert them into the show in sometimes surprising ways. But the show is great fun, and at the end you're supposed to get up and dance to the music of ABBA, which I can never quite bring myself to do, but others around me seem to be up dancing to the music of ABBA. And away we go with Mamma Mia, under the direction of Lynn Curzil from Motto. over at the Cavanocchi Theater.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.